This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. We have a special programme this week focusing on the political, humanitarian and health crisis facing South Sudan. In an extended interview, the UN's humanitarian affairs chief, Stephen O'Brien, tells us that seeking solutions through violence will never solve South Sudan's problems. But first, the latest on the devastating effects being felt across the country following the outbreak of violence in the capital Juba in early July. Forces loyal to President Salva Kiir and then First Vice President Riek Machar clashed on the streets, reigniting the threat of a return to all-out civil war. A wary ceasefire was established in the capital, but fighting has continued in many parts of the country. Around 60,000 people have now fled to neighbouring countries, according to the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, speaking at a briefing in Geneva. Some 1.6 million are internally displaced. Here's UNHCR's head of communications, Melissa Fleming.
We can always test the pulse of what's going on inside the country when we speak to the refugees who are coming outside. Responding to refugee flows into Uganda in particular and that have doubled in the past 10 days. Which brings the total in Uganda to 52,000 who have entered the country since the renewed violence started 3 weeks ago.
And the World Health Organization, WHO, said it needs urgent funding to help prevent outbreaks of disease. More than 600 cases of cholera have already been reported. WHO said it was particularly concerned about those internally displaced around the capital Juba, where there are also new outbreaks of measles and malaria. For those on the run, there is limited access to safe water, sanitation and basic health services. Fadela Chaib is spokesperson for WHO in Geneva.
As of the end of July, a total of 586 cholera cases, including 21 deaths, have been reported nationwide. The majority of these have been recorded in Juba County, where an average of 35 new admissions are being recorded daily.
In an exclusive interview with the UN Missions radio station in South Sudan, Radio Mariah, UN Relief Chief Stephen O'Brien, who spent 3 days in the country seeing conditions for himself, said that all parties, political and humanitarian, needed to work together fast and hard for peace. Luac Nelson asked him what the UN's priorities were for South Sudan.
Whilst we have immediate needs, there is always, today, tonight, there will be people who need the help to survive through food, through shelter, through water, through access to basic services, or protection for their security. And that's exactly what we're looking at. And all of it directly flows out of the conflict. Because if there's one thing that drives people to flee their homes, just as you and I would, is if you can't feed your children, or if you can't get them into education, or if you can't get necessary medicines, or if you can't have a baby safely, if you're a mother who's coming to term. So I think all these things drive people to take incredible risks and make impossible choices. And that's where, flowing out of conflict, we need to do our best to stop the root cause, the conflict, but secondly, to meet the immediate needs.
Now, what more do you expect actually from the actors on ground, say for example, both local and international organizations acting on the ground and the government as well?
Well, that's a very good way of expressing it. It's a very good question because, of course, there is an absolute determination that where lives need saving, where lives need to be protected, that we need to get there in any event. But the best way of having access is because you're working in partnership with the government, with the state government. I've had meetings with, of course, the governors of both the Wau and Awil areas where I've just been today. And it's very important that we harness the combined partnership between the authorities getting consensual access and making it as easy as possible, as cost effective as possible, because all this costs money. And another of these things is to see how we can make sure that through the great, great generosity of so many donors from around the world who want, as global citizens, to be a part of supporting people in their greatest hour of need, wherever it arises around the world. But we need to have the evidence that gives us the chance to make the case, to advocate for more resources to help support that. But at the same time, as we're meeting those needs, also to be working with the authorities in order for them to be able to deliver on their obligations to produce the basic services for the people they represent here in South Sudan, both at local level and at federal level, and also making sure that we're doing everything we can to foster the conditions by which peace can very rapidly be secured. and to take the advantage of then having a new country, which being the newest country in the world, can take its rightful place in being able to build a confident country with hope for the future and the people to feel confident within it.
Well, there've also been quite a number of challenges that humanitarian actors on ground have been facing, ranging from restriction to accessing people in need and down to, I mean, insecurity, and they could not access actually some areas in this country where there are people who are in dire need of humanitarian assistance. What impact then does this insecurity pose to humanitarian access that you have seen from your brief?
Well, this is the very point, is that we need access everywhere there is need. In fact, under the international law, under international humanitarian law and the other laws, it is actually our right to demand, as of right, access wherever humanitarian needs arise. And in the United Nations, it is absolutely secured, as again a matter of law, that we are, along with all our implementing partners, humanitarian needs are the only thing that drive us, it's the only measure, and we are impartial, we're neutral, we're independent in delivering for humanity. And that means that we have an absolute requirement to negotiate hard, and even where we don't have successful access, we must continue to make those demands in order to reach the people who have needs. And that's where today, for instance, we were told there were certain areas which were difficult because, of course, where there's conflict, that makes access very, very restricted, if not prohibited. And we have to make it clear that that is unacceptable from the humanitarian's point of view, and that we have to demand the access. And we were able to secure further meetings to get a greater understanding as to what would need to be put in place in order for us to have access, even where it's not possible today.
There isn't fighting in Juba. I've seen some warehouses belonging to humanitarian organizations like WFP and FAO looted. What is your take on this? What comment do you have?
It's, of course, completely unacceptable. All the materials that are looted or are stored, whether they are food items or materiel of non-food items, all these are dedicated and have been acquired by the international community in order to help the people in South Sudan who have real needs for that food, for the logistics that support getting that food to the people in real need. It is therefore completely unacceptable for anybody, however desperate they are, whatever faction they may belong to think that they can help themselves as of right and commit criminal acts to remove that access for people. And of course it sets back our programs, and we will have to find a way of substituting for the amount that has been looted, estimated at very significant sums by the World Food Programme for what they've lost, and the various armoured vehicles and so forth which have now been missing are simply not available for us now to meet the humanitarian needs. So however much those who've committed these unacceptable acts may convince themselves that they have needs, they need to bear in mind that they have removed the chance for others to survive and for others to be protected. Clearly that's unacceptable, it's morally reprehensible, and it has to be called out, and people have to be held to account, and we must stop any kind of culture of impunity applying.
And finally, what are your messages for the people of South Sudan and perhaps your hope for the country?
Well, my principal message for the people of South Sudan, having had the honour and the privilege to visit this country both before it became the world's newest country and since, is that we all need to work together very fast and hard to create peace. And this has gone on for far too long here in South Sudan. So my message for all the people in South Sudan is a military and a violent approach is not the solution, and never can be and never will be. It can only create victims. The only way that we can have a future, all of us together, is for South Sudan and the people of South Sudan to be able to take their due place in the world, a peaceful world, where they can pull together and to deliver on their own hopes.
Luac Nelson talking to UN Humanitarian Affairs Chief Stephen O'Brien. And that brings us to the end of this special edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org, and we're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.